that we receive in our hearts. May it find good ground in each one of us today. And please bless and anoint Pastor Craig to speak your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Elmo. We are beginning a new series here this morning in the book of Daniel. Of course, we looked at, had a bit of an overview last week, but we're going to get right into it here this morning. As the Lord led me to study through the book of Daniel, I believe that was really timely, a timely choice considering the end times prophecies that this book contains, and timely in that we've been looking at the book of Revelation Wednesday nights. But as I prepared this message, in fact, I'm several messages into the book now, I've very quickly discovered that its timeliness and application are way beyond what I initially thought. For what we find right here, even in the first two verses that Elmo read, is God's holy people being taken captive, God's holy place being desecrated, and God's holy articles being used for pagan purposes. And if that is not a reflection of what is happening in the world right now, and even in the church right now, nothing is. God's holy people, they're being taken captive. Believers are conforming to the world. We just got done with our apostasy series talking all about that. But God's holy people are being taken captive. God's holy places are being desecrated. Church buildings that used to be places of godliness are becoming places where sin is not only tolerated, but endorsed and even practiced. God's holy places are being desecrated, and God's holy article is being used for sinful purposes. His word to us is being twisted. It's being distorted. It's being edited to make it say what sinners want it to say. However, there is a remnant, a dwindling remnant of believers who are still rooted in the truth. And I love that Elmo used that word, I think, right in his prayer. But there are those that are still rooted in his truth, and whom God is nurturing and even planting now in strategic places so that the truth will continue and thrive unto all generations. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah instructed the people of Israel to do just that as they were carried off to Babylon. Well, today we're going to see Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah be just that, a remnant. Okay, a remnant of God's truth, a remnant that gets planted in this strange land, this pagan land, and they're going to not only grow, but they're going to thrive there. My mother came to the United States of America from Germany in 1958. And when she came to the U.S., she brought with her this teeny tiny little cutting of one of her favorite apple trees from Germany. It was just a twig. And she planted it in a pot in her apartment building in New York. That's where she was living. And when she got married to my dad, they bought a house out on Long Island, New York, and she planted that little twig in her backyard. And in our backyard, I live there too. But anyway, in our backyard. And it grew to about 3 to 4 feet tall until my next older brother fell on it and snapped it right in half. But she continued to nurture it. And so it grew to about 3 or 4 feet again, but then we moved to southern Utah in 1973, and she dug it up and brought it with her and planted it in southern Utah in 1973. And it grew. Once there, she replanted it, and it thrived and grew to be about a tree that was about 30 feet tall. It did wonderfully. It did wonderfully. And that's what can happen when a remnant, a 4-inch remnant, is nurtured and cared for and planted in a place where it can thrive. And speaking of us, where God can cause us to thrive, give us the strength to thrive. In fact, the word plant or planted is used of Israel dozens of times in Scripture. Both Jeremiah and Ezekiel used it of Israel concerning even this Babylonian captivity. God uses it of the church as well in numerous places, and it always describes a remnant of believers, a remnant of people who cling tightly to the truth of God, to the love of God. And they are then placed by God in a specific location so that they can grow and thrive. Well, in our passage, we are going to see the remnant of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah cut off from their homeland and planted by God in Babylon, a wicked place, a pagan place. They're going to be planted there to be that cutting through which truth and godliness will not only survive, but thrive. And I think God wants us to be that remnant for the church. While the word plant or planted may not be specifically used of the church as much as it is for Israel, the idea of growing in godliness and truth, the idea of believers growing in godliness and truth wherever God puts us, even in Mesquite, wherever God puts us, that is scriptural. It's scriptural. Listen to a few passages. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And in John 15, 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And then he says, for without me, you can do nothing. And we're going to see Daniel and his companions here trusting in the Lord completely, utterly. Now, it is a crazy world out there right now. And the church is being pressured to conform. Pressured to conform. And many, sadly, are. But so that you and I, so that we might be part of God's remnant, in our passage, we're going to find three attributes of some who were. Okay? Our subject this morning is attributes of a godly remnant. And in Daniel chapter 1, we see again at least three. We're going to find at least three. The first of which is this. They are chosen amid worldly conditioning. They are chosen amid worldly conditioning. That's what the world does. It conditions people. And the hard part is oftentimes the world, the devil, what they offer in that conditioning is exactly what we want. Okay, it plays on our own fleshly desires. But that's what the world does. It conditions people. But these that we're going to look at, they were chosen among, or excuse me, amid that worldly conditioning. Look at verses 1 through 7. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants to some, excuse me, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names, and he gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, that's where I'm stopping. Judah was taken captive. That's what we're learning here. Judah was taken captive. In fact, God predicted it, and he allowed it, because both Israel and Judah, the north and south kingdom, had been, they'd been going the way of the world anyway. And as God often does, he says, okay, you think you're so smart. You think you're so smart. If that is what you really want, then here you go. Here you go. Here are the consequences of your sinful actions. And Judah was taken captive. And then young men were conditioned for service. Now the truth of the matter is, the young people are the future. Both evil and the good know this, and therefore desire the young. Now at first glance, it may seem as though these young people have won the lottery. Here we've been taken captive by this pagan nation, only to be taken aside, flattered, and given the best of everything. But that, believe it or not, is the exact brainwashing technique that many cults use even today. It's how they recruit and condition people, how they recruit and condition their followers. Now, while there are many attributes that define a cult, they often have this similar recruitment process. First of all, they will target people, most times young people. They will typically look for young people who are under stressful conditions. And here are these young men just uprooted from their homes and taken captive to a strange place. They're the perfect target. Secondly, they will flatter them. They'll flatter them. You guys, you're the best of the best. You are perfect. You're good looking. You're just what we need in our group. We want you. We need you. Thirdly, they will isolate them. They will separate them from the general population. They will keep them from outside influences. And these young men were separated from the masses. They were actually kept under guard. And then fourthly, they will control them. Once in isolation, they will try to control everything they do and everything they learn. And these young men were to be trained in all the ways of the Babylonians. So while at first glance, it may seem as though these young people have won the lottery, in reality, they were going to be conditioned and brainwashed by the Babylonians. So here, young men are conditioned for service, and we find that they already were the best of the best. Verse 4 says, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand. Boy, if I were back at that time, they'd have snatched me up. So they were the best of the best. They were taught the ways of the Babylonians, their language and their literature. And of course, that would have included everything from grammar to math to philosophy to poetry, science, astrology. They were taught the ways of the Babylonians, and they were given the best of everything, the best food, the best wine, the best training. If the king had it, they got it. And they were given new names. The letters EL and AH at the end of each of the Jewish names are actually names of the true and living God incorporated into Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. But rather than names that reflected the true and living God, they were given names that reflected pagan gods. This was part of their conditioning. There are a growing number of Christians in the world right now that don't want to be called Christians anymore, because they've been conditioned by the world. It's become a bad word to the world. And these believe that they know better than God. They've been targeted. They've been flattered. They've been isolated and controlled and now belong to a cult called woke. We talked about that a little bit, touched on it anyway this morning in Sunday school as Bob was doing that. But here we find that happening right in our world right now. And the odd thing is the isolation, as Bob talked about, is a person and their phone. As John mentioned, there could be a crowd of 15 young people all standing together within a couple feet of one another and not saying a word to one another. And they're being brainwashed. However, God chose four young men amid that conditioning, amid that process, to be a remnant of truth and godliness. And Daniel and his companions were chosen by God for that. They were chosen by God amid that conditioning. Daniel and his companions were about the age of some of you on the front row. We're talking young teenagers. Most students of the Bible think possibly 15, maybe even a little bit younger. That's who we're talking about right here. These were teenagers, maybe barely teenagers. And while King Nebuchadnezzar thought he was choosing young men for his service, God had actually chosen a remnant for his, just like he chooses us. Just like he chooses you guys on the front row. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We live in a world that is forcing us to be conditioned. We are being bombarded by conditioning influences, conditioning information. And in the midst of that, God wants us to proclaim the truth and love of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be a remnant for him. Because through that remnant, we can influence those around us. And we're going to see that as we progress through the book of Daniel. So they were chosen amid worldly conditioning. Secondly, they have conviction amid worldly convention. They have conviction amid worldly convention. Convention really is doing what everybody else is doing. That's what convention is. It's the conventional way. Even when we attend a convention, we're going to one typically that we all have something in common. We're all there for the same reason. Well, my point is just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's right and that we should too. We should have conviction amid worldly convention. When my son was just a teenager, he had a deer hunting video game. And the object was either to go find deer in this video game or call them in so that one could harvest them. And oftentimes it was a very long process. It was rather realistic. Long process, just like a real hunt might be. But in this video game, it also offered a cheat mode in which you could shortcut all of the difficult aspects of hunting and go right to the kill. And as you enter the cheat mode option, a question pops up on the screen asking, "Do you really want to cheat?" But there was also an audio in the background that said, "Come on, just do it. You know you want to. Everybody else is doing it." And I'm not kidding you, that is an exact quote of what that video game was offering, okay? It was like Satan himself tempting you to cheat in this game. Just take the easy way. Go with the flow. Do what everybody else is doing. I went to his room one day to see him literally flying through the air with a rifle, killing deer left and right. When it comes to the truth, I pray that we have conviction amid the convention of the world. Daniel did. Daniel did. Let's read it in verses 8 through 14. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.' So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days. and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. Now here we find Daniel purposed to be faithful. That was his number one priority. He purposed to be faithful. In fact, the name Daniel means God is my judge. Nobody else. God is my judge. And here we see him desiring to live out the truth of his name. I don't care if others judge me or not concerning what I'm doing or what everybody else is doing. I care about what God says. I care about what God wants. And at this point in time, there were certain foods that God wanted his people Israel to abstain from, because he wanted them to stand out as different. He wanted the world to ask them, why do you live like you live? And they could answer, because we serve and love the true and living God of the universe. And that in itself could actually attract people to him, as we will see happen as we progress in the book of Daniel. Today, the world is charging towards sin. It seems everybody is doing it. And the world is saying to the people of the church, come on, just do it. You know you want to. Everybody else is doing it. Daniel purposed to be faithful, as should we. The world didn't die for our sins. The world didn't have mercy on us. The world isn't gracious to us. God is, through Jesus Christ. He gave his own son to die for us, so that we through faith could live for eternity after this life is over. And in 1 Corinthians 4:1 through 4, it says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, he who judges me, Paul says, is the Lord. He who judges me, he who judges you, is the Lord. Don't care about what the world says. Daniel requested that he not have to defile himself with food that God had commanded he should not eat, because Daniel purposed to be faithful. And God purposed to give favor. God does bless obedience. When we seek to serve him, he will make a way. And there is nothing, as we noted last week, there's nothing out of his control. He can use unbelievers just as he uses believers to fulfill his will and purposes. And so God caused the chief of the eunuchs to show favor toward Daniel. Now he was reluctant. The chief was reluctant. He was worried about what the king would say when his group of young men looked less healthy than the other groups. The truth of the matter is, the delicacies that were provided here were designed to fatten up and bulk up these young men. And so the chief was reluctant. Daniel offered a test. Feed us only vegetables and water for 10 days and then decide. Now, I have known numerous vegetarians through my life, and bulky and fat is not how I would have described any of them. But Daniel knew his God, and God was ready, already showing him favor. And so the steward consented. That is God doing that. Here's a guy whose position and head is on the line, who himself has conventionally never seen a fat vegetarian, and here he is consenting to this test. All because Daniel had conviction amid worldly convention. He did not just go with the flow. Rather, he did what God wanted him to do and left it in God's hands. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And the reason we do that is found in the verse 4. And it's because of the mercy that God has shown to us. In light of everything that He has done for us, in light of everything that He is doing for us on a minute-by-minute basis, in light of the promise of eternity that He has given us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A godly remnant will be chosen amid worldly conditioning. They have conviction amid worldly convention. And then lastly, they have conquest amid worldly competitors. Over the past 2 years, we have had both a men's Bible study and separately a ladies' Bible study through the book by A.W. Tozer called The Knowledge of the Holy. For its size, it is the deepest and most God-magnifying book I think I've ever read, okay? It's only about 120 pages long. However, it is a book that one cannot just casually read. It is packed full of scriptural truth, communicated at an extremely intellectual level. Well, extremely intellectual for me, all right? But I found myself looking up definitions for words he used in every single chapter. I found myself deeply pondering the truths contained in that book for hours. Of all the books I've ever read, it re-exalted God in my life better than any other book outside of the Bible. All right. A.W. Tozer communicated the attributes of God at an intellectual level that exceeded any other author I have read. And here's why I tell you this. Well, it goes without saying that I'd encourage you to read it. But why I tell you this is A.W. Tozer never went to high school or college. His education came from studying scripture. And he could easily stand against any intellectual in the world. Because of God, because of God's word, he had conquest amid worldly competitors. As did Daniel and his companions, both in a physical aspect and an intellectual aspect. Look at it in verses 15 through 21 now. "And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. You're going to find that this begins a long advisory position that Daniel is going to have. But Daniel's companions, they were healthier than the rest. Most translations literally say they were fatter. This is nothing less than a miracle of God for a vegetarian to be fatter than people who are eating delicacies every day. Daniel's companions, they were also gifted by God. In fact, all of this is taking place because of God. In fact, verse 17 tells us exactly where their education comes from. In spite of what they were learning from the Babylonian literature, God gave them knowledge, skill in literature, wisdom. Wisdom, by the way, is the proper use of knowledge. They didn't just know things. They knew how to properly use, exercise, discern, and apply all of it to reality. And we are specifically told that God gifted Daniel with the ability to understand visions and dreams. God had most definitely planted this remnant here for a purpose. And we're going to see that in upcoming chapters. So Daniel's companions, they were wiser than the rest. In other words, most of these young Jewish men went with the flow. They did what everybody else was doing. But when it came time to be questioned by the king, these four young men were wiser than the rest and in turn chosen to serve the king. And as a result, the king discovered that Daniel's companions were better than all in his entire realm. In all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. These four men had obviously already been stewards of God's word, students of God's word. And now, coupled with and compared to the education that Nebuchadnezzar had given them, there was nobody better than them. That is where a well-founded biblical worldview, that is what a well-founded biblical worldview will do for any education. Every sphere of human existence will be better when viewed through God's eyes. That is what I love about Mesquite Christian Academy. Every subject that they teach there is taught through God's view, through God's eyes. That is what I love about Frontier School of the Bible. They provide a well-founded biblical worldview for everyone and anyone who is either going to into ministry or anyone going into any occupation. In fact, I have recommended to our young people that I've talked to at least 1 year of Bible school before they enter secular college or an occupation of any kind, just to help them get a better understanding of God's world view. In fact, we have a remnant of young people, a few of them right on the front row, a few back there, a remnant of young people that will be attending Frontier School of the Bible this fall. We have one up there right now. And I would ask you as a congregation, pray for them. Pray that they become grounded in the truth of God's Word so that they're readied for what they will encounter in this world of ours. Pray for them. Some of them need some financial provision before they go. Pray for that too. But God's Word, coupled with any occupation, will have conquest amid worldly competitors. They will be capable of being used of God in a way others might not, may never be. They will be part of God's fruitful remnant, planted exactly where God wants them, so that the truth will not only just survive, but thrive. It is a crazy world out there right now, and the church is being pressured to conform. Many are. But so that we might be part of God's remnant, we've seen these three attributes of some who were. They were chosen amid worldly conditioning. They have conviction amid worldly convention. And they have conquest amid worldly competitors. I'll close with this. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for these accounts from so long ago, so that we can not only learn your design, your plan for our lives, the fact that you are in control of every situation, but Lord, as we see just how deeply you love us, that we would seek to love you in return, that we would be that godly remnant, that when we're pressured by the world, we don't conform, that when we are up against sin, perhaps put right in our faces, Lord, that we would be convicted to be faithful. And Lord, that you would just guide our lives, that you would be with us every step of the way. We would yield to your power so that we could have conquest amid all of those worldly competitors. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Jesus and his power in our life, making us through faith your children. And especially, Lord, in this age, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we have that power, your power, you residing in us, that we might yield to what you want and avoid, run away from what the world wants. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Church, go ahead and stand one more time. Thank you.